is Craig Johnston. Liverpool are in the lead. Mulvey's big part in it, just as it was in the first one. And Johnston finishing it off.
Yeah, it's a great thrill and a big reason I follow Liverpool. I know my brother's in here having a look at what we do here. He's a Liverpool supporter. We grew up with this man starring for Liverpool, who played for a long time, Craig Johnston. It's just wonderful to have you here, mate, and Liverpool.
Yeah.
You're a big reason, mate. There's so many Liverpool supporters. You exactly. paved the way for Australians to get over that part of the world. It was an extraordinary career.
It was a long time ago, 1975, and I pinch myself now. It seems like another life and someone else's life, not mine.
Yes.
You know, and to sort of have another life where you live in another country and another town, and you kind of, it's divorced, and it's kind of weird. And years later, you know, to have the team come here to my town. I'm a Newcastle boy.
Yes.
Of course, right? You are.
I always will. And Lake Macquarie, the Hunter. But Sydney, you know, is... you know, my second home. So, in fact, the whole Lake Macquarie, Newcastle, the Hunter, Central Coast and Sydney, that was my patch. That's my patch. And to have the boys, the Reds here, it's kind of pretty cool. And the response from everyone, just like you said, you know, it's quite amazing. And see, when I first went to England, it was black and white television. So talk about no apps or websites or ways to get around.
Yes.
It was black and white television.
Yeah.
So then I was at Middlesbrough for 5 years.
Yes.
And then Liverpool bought me. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, and still people like yourself come up and say, hey, remember the days?
Yeah.
You know, mind you, Liverpool, we were winning everything.
We
were winning. We were the best team in the world.
Yes.
I reckon, right, Barcelona used to sneak around and put their faces
and
over
see
the
what
fence
was happening.
And see how we were training, and they copied us.
Yeah.
Barcelona copied us.
Yeah.
Wow. It is incredibly flattering, though, Craig, when you think that you would get so many people to come up. I love Liverpool, but I love them because you were the trailblazer there. And then it went even further than Liverpool. I mean, you were the trailblazer for Aussie soccer or football, or would have been wogball when you sort of grew up here in those days. And then things changed. We had that wonderful golden generation. We're doing it a bit tough now, but it's terribly flattering for you.
It's humbling.
Yeah, it's humbling.
You know, it really is. And, you know, people are sincere and genuine. And I think Liverpool and the club mean something to them in their lives. And it's not hard to support them, though, because their story is not one of some, you know, rich guy comes in and flashes the cash around like some other brands. Right. This is a story about a humble town called Liverpool and Scousers. Mm. And Scousers are not too dissimilar from people from Newcastle, New South Wales, Australia. Working class, again, humble, love their sport, love their music, love their love a fight, you know, especially against the establishment.
Yes.
You know, and that's what Scousers are. That's what Newcastle people are. I think that's what Australians are. And then there's a rich Irish underpinning and heritage, like the Australian, very much in Liverpool, because the boat that went from Dublin, you know, in the south of Ireland, comes straight into Liverpool.
We'll dock there.
Yeah. So we're culturally connected, and we're very similar people. We've both got a dry sense of humour, and I'm talking about the Scousers and the Aussies and the Irish. So there's something more than some rich Arab or some rich Russian's money underpinning our success. It's heart and soul, it's grit, it's hard work, you know. By the way, I was a huge cricket fan, and likewise, I'm very, very honoured to be here as well.
Oh, good on you, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, love the cricket. Thank and love the rugby league, you know, love the rugby league too. So, you know, again, I just say thanks for the kind words before. My big regret is I didn't play for Australia, and I didn't represent my country. But back then, there was no structure, there was no way of doing it.
No, that's right.
And the moment I left Middlesbrough, right, the manager made it very clear and went to Australia, he said, you won't get back in the first team. So there was no point back then, you know. So that's my one big regret, that I didn't play for Australia.
Yeah. Now we have the international friendly weekends, so, you know, they're forced to, they've got to release their players and they've got to go back to all their different countries. And that Premier League is just a melting pot of 1,000 different countries now, isn't it?
Well, there's hardly any English left.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, I wrote a song once, and it was called The Anfield Rap, right? And it was the FA Cup final song. You know what the song was actually about? There wasn't a single Englishman on the field when we won the FA Cup against Everton.
Oh, really?
So it was all the accents. And somebody in the studio reminded me of it, you know, and it was about two Scousers. Yeah. Have you ever heard of the Anfield Rap?
No, we'll find it though. Jono, try and find it, will you?
It's funny. So it starts off that Steve McMahon is walking down the street with John Aldridge. So it's all right, Aldo, sound as a pound. Custy la, but there's nothing down. The rest of the lads ain't got it sussed. We'll have to learn them to talk like us. So that's the two Scousers talking about the dressing room can't speak English like they can. You know, so it goes on. Anyway, it got to number three in the charts.
Wow.
Yes.
Everybody knows the Anfield Rap in the English charts.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was about foreign players. And I was one of the first foreigners ever in British football.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, incredible. And it stood out like a sore thumb back then. But now everyone's a foreigner. Yeah.
They called you Skippy, didn't they?
Yeah, they still do.
Yeah. Had the long locks, mate. You've still got long locks.
Well, they're there
got
somewhere.
Got my piggy tail.
Yeah, so there's the Anfield Rap. Look.
We'll get it up and we'll have a listen to it. Obviously, to have Liverpool down here next Wednesday, ANZ Stadium, playing against Sydney FC, Craig, I can't believe a club that famous travels this far directly after. So they'll finish on Sunday in the Premier League. They jump on a plane. They arrive Tuesday night. They play here Wednesday. It's just another chance, another big revenue stream, isn't it, for the club of Liverpool?
You know what? You're 100% right, except you're 100% wrong on one thing.
Okay.
The very
he
reason,
often is, mate.
Yeah, there you go. And I've only just met him. mate, the reason why they're here is because of the reasons I explained to you. Yeah. They feel the love when they come here.
Good.
And it's different. And they can go to Asia, they can go to America, but they won't get what they get when they come to Australia for the reasons I explained to you before. And the reasons you said to me, hey, Craig, you know, I'm a Liverpool supporter because you were over there. And I know that's part of the story. Yeah. And I'm not saying, hey, pat me on the back. I'm saying, you know, that it's rich and it's real. And that's why they're here. And I'm sure a lot of these players who had a really tough season don't want to schlep straight after the game the other side of the world. But this is special, and I think that that paradigm and that model is going to change. So this is the last time we might see him for a long time. And the big bonus is Stevie G and Stephen McManaman and players like that. We might never see them again.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, so their attitude will be a good one. They'll be out there to play as well as they can.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Funnily enough, the best A-League team performance I've ever seen in my life was 2 years. I don't like friendlies. You know, I tend to think, you know, a lot of the time, the waste time. 2 years ago, I went to see when Chelsea won the league. They flew out and they played Sydney FC.
Yes.
Sydney FC's performance was the best Australian team I have ever seen play on the international stage.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought that, well, Chelsea, they won the league the week before. I thought Mourinho would say, hey, you know, step off. It was all the first team. But it was a great game. Do you remember it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
I do.
So if Sydney FC play like that, the other thing, you know, with these pro players in England, right? If someone comes, you might think, oh, I'm in Australia, I'm tired, at the end of the season doesn't mean anything. Someone kicks you.
Yeah.
Imagine if I just come over there and kicked you up the backside.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? How do you feel?
You'd fire up.
Oh, you'd exactly fire up.
Yeah.
So
and
beware.
They're competitors, so it's always there, isn't,
pride,
it?
Isn't it?
Now, listen, Jono's been outstanding. The Anfield Rap has been found. This is for our listeners, viewers, a reminder to everyone.
Liverpool FC is hard as hell. United, Tottenham, Arsenal. Watch my lips, and I will spell, because they don't just play, but they can rap as well.
Liverpool FC. My idea was it to build Liverpool into a bastion of invincibility, you know what I mean? Napoleon had that idea, he would conquer the bloody world.
But there's nothing down.
The rest of the lads ain't got it sussed.
We'll have to learn them to talk like us.
Well, I'm rapping now.
Bruce Grobbler.
Yeah, there it is. Outstanding. What about your rapping?
yeah, it comes up. Yeah, I have a little segment. So it's the Rhodesian, Bruce Grobbler. It's the Australian. there's a Dane, there's a couple of Scotsmen, there's some Welshmen, some Irish, and the only two English guys are the ones saying, "Hey, we'll have to learn them to talk like us." With a, you know, so I took the Beatles riff,
yeah,
and then there was a rapper in Liverpool, so I got him. So so we made it. I went to number three in the charts.
Brilliant. Love it.
You won't mind taking some calls from some of our listeners? Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go. Gary, you're first up. Good morning.
Hey, Slats. How you going?
Good.
My question for Craig is his best manager he played under and what attributes did he bring to Craig's game?
I'd say Kenny Dalglish and I'd say fear. meaning you'd say in his Scottish accent, I can never understand him, still can't, he'd say and then he'd say, "And do it now, otherwise you're off." And I kid you not, Gary, I kid you not, you know, the coaching or the intellectual process back then was all about, you know, fear or love, you know, and Kenny and Bob Paisley would put an arm around you if you needed some consoling, but most of the time it was if you don't perform, you're off, and you won't get back in the team for 6 months. So people talk about the Liverpool way, you know, when they're coaching kids and what have you, which is great, right? But the Liverpool way is if you don't try, you know, 110%, and you don't pass every ball correctly, you're out of there, and someone else is taking your place, and it works.
Yeah. It certainly worked. You've got the trophy cabinet to prove that it absolutely was effective. Michael joins us. He's a massive Liverpool fan. Hi, Michael.
Good morning, guys. Craig Johnson, absolute honour, mate. My hair is standing on end, mate. How are you going?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Excellent, man. Excellent. Mate, in your autobiography, you talked about when you came off at halftime, you were so mesmerised by the occasion at Wembley, and Kenny Dalglish pulls you aside and tells you to sort of get a grip and get your mind on the game. How was that, man? How did you respond to it? Yeah.
Well, first of all, that answers the question before. You know, here we are, the FA Cup final against Everton, 1-0 down, and a manager pulls you aside and says, "Get a grip." What Kenny was actually saying, right, is you're coming off. Mm. That's what he was saying. And I knew everybody back home in Newcastle was watching, you know, parents, everybody. As you said, and this was, you know, my last chance because I was coming off. So I had to do something, and then I scored. And to get to that ball, you know, and we've seen the clip 1,000 times now. What you didn't see, I was up the other side of the field twice. So the player I was playing against was quite aggressive, Vandenhout. He started running with me, but I just wanted this more than any boy from Australia had ever wanted anything. You know, with the greatest respect, we go back to, you know, there's something inside of us, and I just wanted it. And I died to get there. It wasn't a good or a classic goal, but it was the runs up and down the field. And I actually think that the whole Dalglish thing at halftime, and that's why he was a great manager. He knew when to say what he said, and although he said get a grip, he said I'm pulling you off.
He
pressed the button. Good on you, Michael. Good to hear from
Michael.
You Craig's appreciating the calls. Hi, James, good morning.
He said I'm pulling you off.
Hi, James, turn your radio down in the background, James, and then ask Craig a question you'd like.
Morning, TK. Good morning, Slats. How are you guys?
Good
morning, Craig. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. And yourself?
Good, mate. Good, thank you, mate. I'll just tell you a quick little story. Mate, I was a young little lad, probably about 4, 5, 6 years old, when you came and launched your book here in Australia. You came to a little shopping centre out west called Roseland Shopping Centre, and you signed my book. It said, "Best wishes, Craig Johnson," and that's what started my my Liverpool supportership, I suppose I'd like to say.
Wow.
So just to show you, like, you know, the influence that, you know, maybe on a little kid.
Yeah.
That you might not have seen back then, but, you know, I'm 40 years old now and still going strong with Liverpool.
Wow. Well, first of all, Mike, I'd like to thank you for calling in. And I only ever sold one book and I'd wondered who bought it.
I doubt
so, Michael from Roseland, right? Actually, you know what? I remember it because that was a shopping mall, right? And shopping malls didn't exist back then.
It was one of the, I think it was the first ever.
Yeah, yeah, I remember it.
It might have been the first ever in Sydney.
Yeah, and you've got an accent there, mate. Is that Greek or a little bit Italian or?
James?
Was one Michael? Of the first ever shopping malls,
yeah.
And I remember it was $20 and my parents were freaking out back then and I was like, nah, I've got to have this book.
Yeah.
And I remember actually reading it and rereading it over the years, like, you know, the little stories, like you getting stuck in the elevator on one of the presentation nights, I think.
Yeah, with Dalgleish. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's wonderful, mate. Well, I can't wait to pass it on.
Good on you, James.
2 years old at the moment.
Yeah, you know what? From if you played $20, right, I reckon I must have got 50 cents of that. So when I see you next out west, I'm going to buy you a beer.
There you go.
Thanks for the call, James. Mate, what about the money in the game now? These boys, and I have a little problem because T20 was the rare one I played.
You got the same problem as me. That, you know, that's why we couldn't afford breakfast this morning. And it's funny, but I was on £1,000 a week. And for two games, you know, and we were, you know, running and winning everything in the world. Now, the minimum starting for any of these players is £100,000 a week.
Wow.
Which is crazy. So, but I don't think they run any harder than we did. Right. Certainly don't win what we did. And do you remember a guy called Jimmy Hill?
Yes.
A famous broadcaster. And he interviewed me once on Sky, which is the Fox derivative in England. And we were talking about the extraordinary wages, and they were getting about £10,000 a week, right? And he said, when you played, you're on £1,000 a week, right? So I said, yeah, I said, that's really interesting. I said, but you know what? I said, if you think about it, right, if you took the money away from the players, and I'm talking about 10 years ago, I said, if you took the money away from the players, I said, what would they do tomorrow morning? And he's got a big chin, so he scratched his big chin, and he said, I don't know, what did they do? I said, they'd turn up for training and they wouldn't be paid. And he said, you think so? I said, well, what do you do in training? You have a six-a-side versus Dalgleish and Rush and Johnny Barnes, right? You get paid for it. I would do that and not get paid for it, wouldn't you? He said, you know what? He said, I would. So that was when the players were getting £10,000 a week. Now they're getting £100,000 a week. You know what? They wouldn't turn up for training. No. You know why? Because I think... Right, I think that the money is gone too far, and I think there's a love, there's a passion, there's a need, there's there's a hunger, you know. And somehow, you know, we got to redress the balance, you know.
It's probably a stronger love of money rather than they forget what the sport's about.
You know what? The funny thing is, and you're a player, and the dressing room's got a banter. It's actually not the players and the families; it's the agents. And the money machine that now protects the players. And the players don't have a say anymore. All I'm saying is things have changed. And they're getting, you know, £100,000 for doing the same thing as £1,000. But supply and demand, and you know what? It's still the greatest product on earth. So,
it is. Can I just get to Steve? Because he thinks he went to, well, he probably knows he went to school with you, Craig. Is Steve there? Hi, Steve.
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Yeah, good, mate.
Yeah.
What was he like as a student?
Who's that?
Steve Drummond, there you go, mate.
Drummo! Mate, you son of a gun.
On time.
Yeah, you're stalking me. You're stalking me. How are you, matey?
Good, mate.
Good.
Last time I seen you was at Toronto Pub, actually.
There's a pub. Ago. Yeah, Toronto Pub up on the hill.
Mate, next time you're up, catch up, eh?
next week, Drummo, I'll be there.
Right, that
is your turn to get him in, mate.
Yeah, mate. You might say it was an ordinary goal, mate. I reckon it was one of the best.
Yeah. Thank you, mate. Thank you.
Steve.
Drummo.
Any chance you can shout?
Oh, don't know about that.
Tell Kenny Fields that his chance to get the drinks in.
Right on, mate.
Yeah, Kenny's a big legend up there. Yeah, good on you.
Good on you, Steve. Right. Well done. Right.
John, let's just crash the news a little bit. Here's John. We'll finish off with John. G'day, John.
G'day, boys. How are you, Craig? How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate.
Mate, big Liverpool supporter since the early 70s and loved everything you did for this country with soccer, you know, going over there when you did. My question is, mate, how do you go with sleeping? Because I reckon your mind ticks over at a million miles an hour. If you haven't developed a quiz show on TV, which is the main event, Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. And you've done you've designed Soccer Boots. Obviously, wrote that song. So, mate, even if you didn't stumble upon soccer, I'm sure you would have done a fair bit.
Yeah.
In your life, anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Somebody said the other day, "How does a soccer player become an inventor?" And I said, "Well, hang on a sec." I said, "I was always an inventor, and I became a soccer player." Mm. And the fact is, when I went to Middlesbrough, the whole Jack Charlton thing, he said, "You're the worst player I've ever seen." he was right. You know, he was right. I couldn't control the ball, pass, dribble, and shoot. So when he you know said you know go back home to where you come from, my parents had just sold their house to pay for the trip to Middlesbrough, and then I couldn't tell my parents that they'd sold their house and I was a failure. So I had to figure out how to play soccer. So that's when I invented a system in the car park to get better on a daily basis.
Yeah,
a little bit like Michael Donald Bradman and his stump and the golf ball.
Yeah.
So I knew the Bradman stories. So I invented a skills measurement test in the Middlesbrough car park. And that's how I got better on a daily basis. So the answer, mate, is I was always
an inventor.
I was always fascinated by how things work, and that's invention. And I was always good in science and maths, and I've always figured things out. But to answer your question about how I sleep, mate, my brain, you know, just taunts me and teases me every day, you know, won't leave me alone. So when it's time for bed, I sleep like a baby because I'm exhausted, you know, it is the answer. But I think just so you know, the biggest idea that I've ever had is about 15, 20 years ago is a combination of everything. So the big idea is yet to come, I swear to you. And you guys are going to love it.
Yeah.
Actually, thanks. I shouldn't do this. But I'm going to tell you what it is, okay?
Yeah.
You know the big bash of cricket?
Yes.
Mm. Well, I'm going to do the big bash of soccer.
Yeah, fantastic.
You like it?
Yeah, I love it.
Can you help me get it up?
I will.
Can Fox, anybody here in the know?
Can I cut in?
Yes.
Bit of a share?
Yes.
You got to stump up the capital to start.
Stump up, that's a good cricket word.
Stump up.
Yeah. Hey, Craig, yeah, what a pleasure. Mate, it's an honour. We finish the way we start. It's an absolute honour, mate. Just brilliant. Can't wait for Wednesday night next week.
Thank you, Craig. Pleasure.
Yeah.
Absolute pleasure.
Brilliant stuff, mate.
Pleasure.
Craig Johnston.